His hand jerked back, and the packet fell on the floor. Before he could pick it up, the wizard stooped and seized it, and set it in its place. A spasm of anger passed swiftly over the hobbit's face again. Suddenly, it gave way to a look of relief and a laugh.
"Well, that's that," he said. "Now I'm off."
They went out into the hall. Bilbo chose his favourite stick from the stand. Then he whistled. Three dwarves came out of different rooms where they had been busy.
"Is everything ready?"
asked Bilbo.
"Everything packed and labelled?"
"Everything,"
they answered.
"Well, let's start then."
He stepped out of the front door. It was a fine night, and the black sky was dotted with stars. He looked up, sniffing the air.
"What fun! What fun to be off again, off on the road with dwarves! This is what I've really been longing for years. Goodbye," he said, looking at his old home and bowing to the door. "Goodbye, Gandalf."
"Goodbye for the present, Bilbo. Take care of yourself. You're old enough and perhaps wise enough."
"Take care? I don't care. Don't you worry about me. I'm as happy now as I've ever been, and that is saying a great deal. But the time has come. I'm being swept off my feet at last," he added.
And then in a low voice, as if to himself, he sang softly in the dark.
"The road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now far ahead the road has gone, and I must follow if I can. Pursuing it with eager feet, until it joins some larger way, where many paths and errands meet, and whither then I cannot say."
He paused, silent for a moment. Then, without another word, he turned away from the lights and voices in the fields and tents, and, followed by his three companions, went round into his garden and trotted down the long, sloping path. He jumped over a low place in the hedge at the bottom and took to the meadows, passing into the night like a rustle of wind in the grass. Gandalf remained for a while, staring after him into the darkness.
"Goodbye, my dear Bilbo. Until our next meeting," he said softly, and went back indoors.
Frodo came in soon afterwards, and found him sitting in the dark, deep in thought. "Has he gone?" he asked.
"Yes," answered Gandalf. "He's gone at last. I hoped until this evening that it was only a joke," said Frodo. "But I knew in my heart that he really meant to go. He always used to joke about serious things. I wish I'd come back sooner, just to see him off."
"I think really he preferred slipping off quietly in the end," said Gandalf.
"Don't be too troubled. He'll be all right now. He left a packet for you. There it is."
Frodo took the envelope from the mantelpiece and glanced at it, but did not open it.
"You'll find his will and all the other documents in there, I think," said the wizard. "You are the master of Bag End now, and also, I fancy, you'll find the golden ring."
"The ring!" exclaimed Frodo. "Has he left me that? I wonder why. Still, it may be useful."
"It may. And it may not," said Gandalf. "I should not make use of it if I were you. But keep it secret, and keep it safe. Now I'm going to bed."
As master of Bag End, Frodo felt it his painful duty to say goodbye to the guests. Rumours of strange events had by now spread all over the field, but Frodo would only say, "No doubt everything will be cleared up in the morning." About midnight, carriages came for the important folk. One by one they rolled away, filled with full but very unsatisfied hobbits. gardeners came by arrangement, and removed in wheelbarrows those that had inadvertently remained behind. Night slowly passed. The sun rose. The hobbits rose rather later. Morning went on. People came and began, by orders, to clear away the pavilions and the tables and the chairs, and the spoons and knives and bottles and plates, and the lanterns, and the flowering shrubs in boxes, and the crumbs and cracker paper, the forgotten bags and gloves and handkerchiefs, and the uneaten food, a very small item. Then a number of other people came, without orders. Bagginses and Boffins and Bulgers and Tooks, and other guests that lived or were staying near. By midday, when even the best fed were out and about again, there was a large crowd at Bag End, uninvited but not unexpected. Frodo was waiting on the step, smiling, but looking rather tired and worried. He welcomed all the callers, but he hadn't much more to say than before. His reply to all enquiries was simply this: Mr. Bilbo Baggins has gone away, as far as I know, for good. Some of the visitors he invited to come inside, as Bilbo had left messages for them. Inside in the hall there was piled a large assortment of packages and parcels and small articles of furniture. On every item there was a label tied. There were several labels of this sort: For Adelard Took. For his very own, from Bilbo. On an umbrella. Adelard had carried off many unlabeled ones. For Dora Baggins, in memory of a long correspondence, with love from Bilbo, on a large waste paper basket. Dora was Drogo's sister, and eldest surviving female relative of Bilbo and Frodo. She was 99, and had written reams of good advice for more than half a century. For Milo Burrows, hoping it would be useful, from B.B., on a gold pen and ink bottle. Milo never answered letters. For Angelica's use, from Uncle Bilbo, on a round convex mirror. She was a young Baggins, and too obviously considered her face shapely. For the collection of Hugo Bracegirdle, from a contributor, on an empty bookcase. Hugo was a great borrower of books, and worse than usual at returning them. For Lobelia Sackville Baggins, as a present, on a case of silver spoons. Bilbo believed that she had acquired a good many of his spoons while he was away on his former journey. Lobelia knew that quite well. When she arrived later in the day, she took the point at once, but she also took the spoons. This is only a small selection of the assembled presents. Bilbo's residence had got rather cluttered up with things in the course of his long life. It was a tendency of hobbit holes to get cluttered up, for which the custom of giving so many birthday presents was largely responsible. Not, of course, that the birthday presents were always new. There were one or two old mathems of forgotten uses that had circulated all round the district, but Bilbo had usually given new presents and kept those that he received. The old hole was now being cleared a little. Every one of the various parting gifts had labels, written out personally by Bilbo, and several had some point or some joke. But, of course, most of the things were given where they would be wanted and welcome. The poorer hobbits, and especially those of Bagshot Row, did very well. Old Gaffer Gamgee got 2 sacks of potatoes, a new spade, a woolen waistcoat, and a bottle of ointment for creaking joints. Old Rory Brandybuck, in return for much hospitality, got 12 bottles of old Wynyards, a strong red wine from the South Farthing, and now quite mature, as it had been laid down by Bilbo's father. Rory quite forgave Bilbo, and voted him a capital fellow after the first bottle. There was plenty of everything left for Frodo, and, of course, all the chief treasures, as well as the books, pictures, and more than enough furniture, were left in his possession. There was, however, no sign nor mention of money or jewelry. Not a penny piece or a glass bead was given away. Frodo had a very trying time that afternoon. A false rumour that the whole household was being distributed free spread like wildfire, and before long the place was packed with people who had no business there, but couldn't be kept out. Labels got torn off and mixed, and quarrels broke out. Some people tried to do swaps and deals in the hall, and others tried to make off with minor items not addressed to them, or with anything that seemed unwanted or unwatched. The road to the gate was blocked with barrows and handcarts. In the middle of the commotion, the Sackville Bagginses arrived. Frodo had retired for a while and left his friend Merry Brandybuck to keep an eye on things. When Otho loudly demanded to see Frodo, Merry bowed politely. "He is indisposed," he said. "He is resting."
"Hiding, you mean," said Lobelia. "Anyway, we want to see him, and we mean to see him. Just go and tell him so."
Merry left them a long while in the hall, and they had time to discover their parting gift of spoons. It did not improve their tempers. Eventually they were shown into the study. Frodo was sitting at a table with a lot of papers in front of him. He looked indisposed, to see the Sackville Bagginses at any rate, and he stood up, fidgeting with something in his pocket. But he spoke quite politely. The Sackville Bagginses were rather offensive. They began by offering him bad bargain prices, as between friends, for various valuable and unlabeled things. When Frodo replied that only the things specially directed by Bilbo were being given away, they said the whole affair was very fishy.
"Only one thing is clear to me," said Otho, "and that is that you are doing exceedingly well out of it. I insist on seeing the will."
Otho would have been Bilbo's heir, but for the adoption of Frodo. He read the will carefully and snorted. It was, unfortunately, very clear and correct, according to the legal customs of hobbits, which demand, among other things, 7 signatures of witnesses in red ink.
"Foiled again," he said to his wife. "And after waiting 60 years, spoons, fiddlesticks!"
He snapped his fingers under Frodo's nose and stumped off. But Lobelia was not so easily got rid of. A little later Frodo came out of the study to see how things were going on, and found her still about the place, investigating nooks and corners and tapping the floors. He escorted her firmly off the premises, after he had relieved her of several small but rather valuable articles that had somehow fallen inside her umbrella. Her face looked as if she was in the throes of thinking out a really crushing parting remark, but all she found to say, turning round on the step, was,
"You live to regret it, young fellow. Why didn't you go too? You don't belong here. You're no Baggins. You're a Brandybuck."
"Did you hear that, Merry? That was an insult, if you like," said Frodo as he shut the door on her.
"It was a compliment," said Merry Brandybuck. "And so, of course, not true."
Then they went round the hole and evicted 3 young hobbits, 2 boffins and a bolger, who were knocking holes in the walls of one of the cellars. Frodo also had a tussle with young Sancho Proudfoot, old Odo Proudfoot's grandson, who had begun an excavation in the larger pantry, where he thought there was an echo. The legend of Bilbo's gold excited both curiosity and hope, for legendary gold, mysteriously obtained, if not positively ill-gotten, is, as everyone knows, anyone's for the finding, unless the search is interrupted. When he had overcome Sancho and pushed him out, Frodo collapsed on a chair in the hall. "It's time to close the shop, Merry," he said. "Lock the door, and don't open it to anyone today, not even if they bring a battering ram." Then he went to revive himself with a belated cup of tea. He'd hardly sat down when there came a soft knock at the front door. Lobelia again, most likely, he thought. She must have thought of something really nasty and have come back again to say it. It can wait. He went on with his tea. The knock was repeated, much louder, but he took no notice. Suddenly the wizard's head appeared at the window.
"If you don't let me in, Frodo, I shall blow your door right down your hole and out through the hill," he said.
"My dear Gandalf, half a minute," cried Frodo, running out of the room to the door. "Come in, come in. I thought it was Lobelia."
"Then I forgive you. But I saw her some time ago, driving a pony trap toward Bywater with a face that would have curdled new milk."
She'd already nearly curdled me, honestly. I nearly tried on Bilbo's ring. I longed to disappear.
"Don't do that," said Gandalf, sitting down. "Do be careful of that ring, Frodo. In fact, it's partly about that I've come to say a last word."
"Well, what about it?"
"What do you know already?"
"Only what Bilbo told me. I've heard his story, how he found it, and how he used it. On his journey, I mean."
"Which story, I wonder?" said Gandalf.
"Oh, not what he told the dwarves and put in his book," said Frodo. "He told me the true story soon after I came to live here. He said you had pestered him till he told you, so I had better know too."
"No secrets between us, Frodo," he said. "But they are not to go any farther. It's mine anyway."
"That's interesting," said Gandalf. "Well, what did you think of it all?"
"If you mean inventing all that about a present, well, I thought the true story much more likely, but I couldn't see the point of altering it at all. It was very unlike Bilbo to do so anyway, and I thought it rather odd."
"So did I. But odd things may happen to people that have such treasures, if they use them. Let it be a warning to you to be very careful with it. It may have other powers than just making you vanish when you wish to."
"I don't understand," said Frodo.
"Neither do I," answered the wizard. "I've merely begun to wonder about the ring, especially since last night. No need to worry, but if you take my advice, you will use it very seldom or not at all. At least I beg you not to use it in any way that will cause talk or rouse suspicion. I say again, keep it safe and keep it secret."
"You are very mysterious. What are you afraid of?"
"I'm not certain, so I will say no more. I may be able to tell you something when I come back. I'm going off at once, so this is goodbye for the present."
He got up. "At once?" cried Frodo. "Why, I thought you were staying on for at least a week. I was looking forward to your help."
"I didn't mean to, but I've had to change my mind. I may be away for a good while, but I'll come and see you again as soon as I can. Expect me when you see me. I shall slip in quietly. I shan't often be visiting the Shire openly again. I find that I have become rather unpopular. They say I am a nuisance and a disturber of the peace. Some people are actually accusing me of spiriting Bilbo away, or worse. If you want to know, there is supposed to be a plot between you and me to get hold of his wealth."
"Some people!" exclaimed Frodo. "You mean Otho and Lobelia? How abominable! I would give them Bag End and everything else if I could get Bilbo back and go off tramping in the country with him. I love the Shire, but I begin to wish, somehow, that I'd gone too. I wonder if I shall ever see him again."
"So do I," said Gandalf. "And I wonder many other things. Goodbye now. Take care of yourself. Look out for me, especially at unlikely times. Goodbye."
Frodo saw him to the door. He gave a final wave of his hand and walked off at a surprising pace. But Frodo thought the old wizard looked unusually bent, almost as if he was carrying a great weight. The evening was closing in, and his cloaked figure quickly vanished into the twilight. Frodo did not see him again for a long time.